Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Should we be cheering or criticizing the Charlie Kirk Memorial? This is Wretched Radio. It was unlike anything I have ever witnessed on national television. Think back to the funeral of a president, a good one, a bad one, otherwise. How much time was dedicated on national TV to talking about Jesus Christ? And I'm not talking about in generalities. I'm talking about with specificity, using words like sin, repentance, forgiveness. When was the last time you saw a national event where Jesus Christ was in the spotlight for hours up until the last speaker? I mean, he was just central to all of it. Yeah, there was political talk, and there were accolades for Charlie's boldness and his interaction with students. No, there was that, but there was so much emphasis on Jesus Christ and what motivated him to do what he did. There was talk about the importance of marriage, having children, free speech, free religion. They're kind of intertwined. It was unlike anything that I have ever seen. That's what Tucker Carlson said when he walked out to the platform. This is extraordinary. I've never seen anything like this. The question before us, especially for those of us who have the spiritual gift of hypercriticism, should we be like celebrating that? Should we be celebrating it with some reservations? Or should we just reject the whole thing because not everything was pristine? Because some speeches, they were excellent. I'm looking at you, Frank Turek. Others, you know, pretty good. Some were like kind of, yeah, you really don't have a clue. But nobody uttered heresy. Nobody. All of them heralded the name of Jesus Christ. And with the exception of one, it was about Jesus Christ. Not about religion or Christianity or his faith. I'm telling you, with the exception of probably like most things on Netflix, Jesus' name was used more at this event than anything I've ever seen. And unlike Netflix, it was used rightly and positively. And that should excite us. But nevertheless, we are Bereans. Now, we don't want to be like, yeah, hey, he could have used that word and God could have used that. So we don't want to be hypercritical. We don't want to be censorious, but we do want to be good Bereans. Not all messages were perfect. It was an ecumenical affair. There were Roman Catholics like J.D. Vance, Secretary Kennedy. I think I would have to assume he's Catholic. All the way over to evangelicals like Frank Turk. So you've got the issue of ecumenism on a platform without making any distinctions between true and false. Should that cause us, therefore, to look at the Charlie Kirk event and go, so let's work through it, shall we? I'm going to share with you what I think were the highlights of all of the different speeches. And the ones that really focused on Jesus, because again, there were speeches that were dedicated to other things, the political side of Charlie Kirk. But I'm telling you, if you missed this event, you missed something extraordinary. And it's also an event I suspect that people will be using rightly and wrongly for a long time to forward their understanding of church-state relationships. What is the role of the Christian in government, et cetera? When do we speak out? When do we resist, et cetera? Nevertheless, right now, let's take a look and a listen to what happened at this extraordinary event. And in case you're thinking, dude, why do you need to do this? Can't you just be happy Jesus' name was honored? And the answer is always, it's got to be a cautious yes. We want that. And you say, Philippians 1. Hey, that says we should just rejoice, no matter really what is said, as long as Jesus is being heralded. But to help us understand those verses, I want to read the verse, but I'm going to slip in one word, a clarifying word, rightly. Without the word rightly, the statement from Paul would say that, hey, theology doesn't matter. Accuracy is irrelevant. So here's Philippians 1. Paul rejoiced that Christ was preached, here's the word, rightly. Rightly. He would not rejoice if people were preaching Christ wrongly. The text in Philippians 1 is addressing motives and not theological precision or accuracy. If Paul weren't concerned about content, then all of his warnings about false teaching and being bereaved, that it would be null and void. So verse 15, some to be sure are preaching Christ rightly, even if from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it rightly out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ rightly out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed rightly, and in this I rejoice. I have to tell you this, the Charlie Kirk event for me was like, wow, never seen anything like it. Jesus was extolled. His name wasn't used as a four-letter filth word. He was the center of the entire event. And I love that because I why wouldn't we love that? We would rejoice at that as long as it was being proclaimed rightly. So with that as our backdrop, let's take a look at the good, the bad, the tone deaf, and then I will share with you what I think about the event and how my heart responds to it. So first one up would be the pastor, the one that Charlie Kirk said, this guy, he's my pastor. He was very early in the day. Let's see how he did.
You're going to hear of what Charlie did, but I'm here today to tell you the why in what he did. The why brought him the courage. The why brought him the wisdom and the strength. The why is the one that Charlie wanted to welcome as the guest of honor. The guest of honor, his resume is long. He's the King of Glory. He's the Prince of Peace.
Awesome.
He's the Savior of the world. He's the living God. He's the God of all mercy and grace. The total embodiment of love. The total embodiment of truth. And he's here today to call his children back to him.
Now, I could inject, it would have been nice to hear about his righteousness and his justice. And how he is so set against evil. I think that would have been helpful, but would I hack on do you hear the way he's extolling Jesus Christ? Wow. Amazing.
From the thin veil of heaven, Charlie declares to all earthly powers and principalities who will gather here, they have come into the presence of the God of all creation. Charlie wanted his Savior to be the guest of honor. He wanted all of you to receive this gift from him, the why and what he did. Charlie was never afraid because he knew his life was secure in the hand of God. Jesus left the glory of heaven's throne for the humiliation of an earthly cross.
That's awesome. That's all. That's awesome.
He was fully tempted, yet was without sin.
Awesome.
For those of you who struggle with the word sin, it's real simple. It's an archer's term. Where the bullseye is and where the arrow lands, that's called the sin distance, how far you've fallen from perfection. And there are none righteous, no, not one. We've all missed the mark, the bullseye.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. Now, if the fellow had time, because I know Charlie was a fan of Living Waters, he may have opened up the law. So, you know, is this perfect? No, but come on.
And we try to get to God by our efforts, but there is no effort that will bring us back into the presence of a righteous God. You see, the wages of sin is death. Charlie knew this, and at an early age, he entrusted his life to the Savior of the world. Jesus came to this earth, was tempted in all ways, yet was without sin, was crucified upon a cross. His blood was poured out because blood must be shed for the remission of sins.
Okay. This fellow is going to do, if you will, a bit of an altar call, which, you know, it's not a sin, certainly not my style, but shouldn't we be rejoicing at this?
And his death upon that cross was sufficient for all the world's sins, but only efficient for those who, like Charlie, would receive him as their Savior.
Could I knit and could I pick? I'm not even sure I would or should. I think when it comes to this presentation that was given by the man who Charlie said was his pastor, I got to tell you, even though with the altar call thing, I think we should be rejoicing. This is Wretched Radio.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus. All of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether you're married, needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John and the Bishop of Smyrna. He was a staunch defender of orthodoxy, combating the Gnostic heresies. Before his death as a martyr, Polycarp proclaimed, 86 years I have served Christ, and he has done me no evil. How could I curse my king who saved me?
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Rejoicing or criticizing? That is the question. This is Wretched Radio, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. It was extraordinary. Now, you can have some nits to pick. No doubt about that. For instance, I thought whoever the worship guy was, his gospel presentation was a pretty standard evangelical dog's breakfast. But even in that, the name of Jesus Christ was extolled. And I don't want to overlook false teaching about Jesus just because his name was heralded constantly at an internationally televised event. And so I want to make my way through the presentations on Jesus Christ. And I want to keep my Berean hat on while simultaneously be willing to go, that was pretty extraordinary. Next up, Frank Turek. Frank is an apologist. Frank is a friend of mine. Frank was a mentor of Charlie Kirk. And I'm going to play an extended, pretty much his whole speech. It's about 6 minutes long, and I'm going to do my best to not interrupt it because I thought it was fascinating on two levels. The lesser level would be his description of what happened on the platform because Frank was there with Charlie. Doggy. But even more spectacular in this presentation is that the gospel was delivered clearly, forcefully, and rightly. So, Frank, well done, brother.
Erica wanted me to share with you what happened after that shot rang out on September 10th. I was standing 25 feet from my beloved friend just off his right. Why was I there? About 5 years ago, Charlie asked me if I would mentor him in the evidence for Christianity, because that's one of the things I do. Now, it's going to be difficult to mentor someone smarter than you. However, the only thing that surpassed Charlie's intellect was his humility. And so the few things I knew that he didn't, he wanted me to share with him. When that shot rang out, I took a step toward him, but his security team was on him immediately. And so Charlie, being like a son to me, I ran toward the security team and we ran to the SUV together. No father would stand back and go, no, you just take my son, take him, I'll meet you at the hospital. I got into the back of the SUV, and let me tell you something. His team was amazing. When this full investigation is done, I think you're going to see that his team did everything they were supposed to do. In the car, Justin was driving. Dan was in the front with the GPS. Rick was to my left. He had Charlie's head. And Brian was at Charlie's feet, and Charlie's so big, we couldn't even shut the door. He's so tall. And I'm perched over the back seat. And while they're administering all sorts of first aid, apparently my skill, my job was to yell. I was doing a lot of yelling. And I want you to know that we did everything we could to save Charlie. But Charlie was already gone. His face was looking at mine, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking past me right into eternity. And if it's any comfort at all, I learned later that Charlie felt no pain. He died instantly. But we had to try and bring him back. We couldn't save him. Now, I want you to know that Charlie right now is in heaven, not because he was a great husband and father, not because he saved millions of kids out of darkness on college campuses.
This is good.
Not because he changed minds and chased votes to save the country. Not because he sacrificed himself for his savior. Charlie Kirk is in heaven because his savior sacrificed himself for Charlie Kirk.
Amen, Frank. Well done.
Now look, there's only two things you can get in the afterlife. You can get justice or you can get grace. Ladies and gentlemen, does anyone in here, does anybody out there watching around the world want justice from an infinitely just being?
Excellent. No.
I don't want justice. I want grace. Well, the only way to get grace for an infinitely just being is for him to punish an innocent substitute in our place. Where can he find an innocent substitute among us? He can't. We're all fallen. So what does this infinitely just and infinitely loving God do? He adds humanity to his deity. He comes to earth. He allows the creatures that rebelled against him to torture and kill him so he could place their punishment upon himself. And then by trusting in him, every one of us can be forgiven and then given his righteousness.
Awesome, Frank.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the greatest story ever told. And it happens to be true. There's evidence for this, and Charlie knew it. Watch his videos.
Really well done.
Charlie knew that life wasn't just about money. It wasn't just about sex. It wasn't just about power. It wasn't just about prestige. He knew that the purpose of life is to know Jesus and to make him known, to make heaven crowded. Charlie's eyes were fixed on eternity. Where have your eyes been fixed? What have you been doing with your lives? What have you been doing? What are you going to do now? You know, in every evil, God brings forth some ripples of good. In this case, he's bringing a tsunami of good. Look around. You're seeing it. And if you think a martyrdom is going to stop this movement, well, we all know Charlie was inspirational. But Erica Kirk is a force of nature.
That was awesome. And we should be rejoicing that the gospel was clearly presented. That was Frank. Frank, you did good, brother. Marco Rubio, he also spoke. And my understanding about Marco Rubio is that he's kind of Protestant, kind of Roman Catholic. I'm not sure exactly where he lands these days. And whilst his presentation, I think it could have given the impression that everybody's going to heaven because of Jesus. And I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say, I don't think that was his intention. Nevertheless, overall, it's pretty good.
One of the things he wants us to take away from this, from all of this, is the following. His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator. And so God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day, he rose unlike any mortal man. And to prove any doubters wrong, he ate with his disciples so they could see and they touched his wounds. He didn't rise as a ghost or as a spirit, but as flesh. And then he rose to the heaven, but he promised he would return. And he will. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love.
Good. If Marco had said, for those who have repented and put their trust in Jesus Christ, yes, I do think that would have been tighter. But unless Marco Rubio is a universalist suggesting everybody gets to go because of Jesus, I got to tell you, my conservative critical side, so far in the Charlie Kirk Memorial, I don't know how we can't celebrate this so far, but there is more to come. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News break, a production of Fortis Institute. The widow of Charlie Kirk delivered a masterclass in Christian forgiveness at her husband's memorial service over the weekend, telling a massive crowd she forgives the young man who assassinated her 31-year-old husband. Erica Kirk quoted Christ's words from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do," and revealed that she insisted on seeing her husband's body despite warnings from the sheriff. And what she found, she says, was remarkable, saying Charlie died with a faint smile on his lips. One moment, Charlie was doing what he loved. He blinked, and then he saw his Savior in paradise. And she was right when she said the answer to hate is not more hate, but rather love. And speaking of that hate, which now seems to be going around everywhere, a suspected leftist has now been arrested for firing 3 shots into an ABC affiliate's window in Sacramento after the network yanked Jimmy Kimmel for lying about Kirk's assassination. The 64-year-old suspect, a former legislative director for the California Teachers Union, had an X feed packed with far-left rhetoric. Remember when we were told words were violence? Apparently, actual violence is now their response to accountability. The irony here is thick enough to cut with a knife. Meanwhile, pro-abortion activists are desperately clinging to their own lies about abortion pill reversal. A Canadian doctor recently told the Toronto Star that the abortion pill, once you take it, you live with it, completely ignoring the over 7,000 babies that have been saved through the reversal treatment. The success rates run 64% to 68%, yet this doctor calls it dangerous and useless. The Campaign Life Coalition nailed the reason for the deception, saying, quote, "The demons who inspire the abortion industry are constantly demanding child sacrifice." Yeah, I can get behind that explanation. To Texas A&M, now we go, where the president is out after letting faculty push gender unicorns and LGBTQ ideology to future students in direct violation of the president's executive order. Mark Welsh III attempted to act like he was handling it, but when caught red-handed training educators to indoctrinate children, his response sealed his fate. It took less than 10 days from exposure to resignation. Across the pond, Christians are discovering what digital persecution looks like as Bible Gateway has mysteriously become inaccessible in the UK. The site claims technical issues, but users are pointing to the Online Safety Act, which is the Orwellian measure supposedly protecting children, that's actually creating an internet passport system. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at fortisinstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. True peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Next up, Tucker Carlson. This is Wretched Radio. Now, if you've been following the trajectory of Tucker Carlson on his quest to figure out Christianity, but it is clear the man is in earnest. He spoke at the Charlie Kirk Memorial. And while, again, there are a couple of things that he said where it's like, well, okay, that's a little bit fuzzy there. Give it a listen yourself. Here's Tucker Carlson talking about Charlie's faith in Jesus Christ.
He knew that vast improvements are possible politically, but he also knew that politics is not the final answer. It can't answer the deepest questions, actually. That the only real solution is Jesus.
Amen.
And the reason, it's really simple. Politics, at its core, is a process of critiquing other people and getting them to change.
This is good.
Christianity, the gospel message, the message of Jesus, begins with repentance. Christianity calls upon you to change. Our core prayer, given to us by Jesus, the Lord's Prayer, demands that we forgive other people, but preceding that is a request for our forgiveness. In other words, forgive us our sins, meditate on what we've done wrong, how we've fallen short, and then it becomes possible to forgive other people. That is a call to change our hearts from Jesus, and that is the only way forward.
Gotta tell you, that was that's the start of a faith-filled walk. The acknowledgement, I'm the problem here. And he used the word repentance, which I've done a little bit of scanning. We've got the software for this. It's AI. But we did some scanning. The last time the word repentance was used in 90% of evangelical churches, AI doesn't go back that far.
In this country, that is the only solution to where we all know we're going. And Charlie knew where we were going without that. And that is not a call for being politically passive. Of course not. I stood on many stages with Charlie calling for various people to be elected, particularly Donald Trump. And I'm proud of that. It's only an acknowledgement that what Charlie was really saying is that change begins, the only change that matters, when we repent of our sins. We, me.
That is just super fine. Now, he several times referenced that he really felt God in this place and that the atmosphere is being, it's being tuned by the Holy Spirit's pitchfork or something like that. Wait a second, a pitchfork? A tuning fork? That's a different type of fork altogether. You're supposed to say that's a different type of fork altogether. What does it feel like to feel God's presence? Are we really feeling, like sensing God being there? Well, I would suggest to you, without sounding like a curmudgeon, although I don't mind sounding like one when appropriate, we are feeling something, but I don't think it's a sensory experience or a mystical experience. Instead, we are feeling something because we're looking at what's happening around us, in this instance, a stadium packed with 100,000 people where Jesus Christ is being heralded constantly. And by the way, and in between the speakers, they were playing mostly classic hymns. It is well with my soul. It was amazing grace. It was amazing. This event, when you looked around, should cause you to have some feelings. But what are those feelings based on? Observation and knowledge of what is going on. Wow, look at this, is amazing. And Jesus is being lifted up and they're playing worship music and theologically sound hymns. The gospel has been presented regularly. That feels encouraging. That feels good. That feels assuring. That just feels like, yes, this is a good thing. I think that's what you're feeling. And not a mystical sensation that Jesus Christ is present, because Jesus Christ is always present. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy, he spoke, and I have to say, I've never like followed him a ton. I know he was kind of remarkable in that he was a Democrat who now he's in the cabinet for a Republican. And he seemed to become at least more moderate. And he's going after some things health-wise that I think a lot of us have been going, should we take a look at that stuff a little bit closer? But I think this is maybe the, with the exception of him being on a, when you get grilled in a Senate hearing, this is the most I've seen. And I felt like, is he okay? Because his voice, you know, his voice is shot, but he claims it's from all the vaccinations that he's taken. I if that's true, I don't know. But nevertheless, you can tell he struggles. But I also noticed that he was trembling. And that kind of bummed me out. I don't know anything about the fellow or his faith, but that when you see a human that's shaking like that, it should be a little bit, you know. Nevertheless, he talked about Jesus too. And I would have to say that his presentation was probably carefully sculpted so that it didn't sound overtly Protestant, because I suspect he is. And I don't even know if he's a practicing Roman Catholic, but this was one of the ones that was kind of like, you know, nothing wrong, but like not like the way we talk.
Charlie's overarching passion was his Christianity and his devotion to his God.
See, it's less Jesus Christ-like. Okay.
He believed what St. Francis taught us almost 1,000 years ago, that we should strive to live our lives in perfect imitation of Christ. That we should turn every day and every moment and every interaction into a prayer. And Charlie understood the great paradox that it's only by surrender to God that God's power can flow into our lives and make us effective human beings. Christ died at 33 years old, but he changed the trajectory of history. Charlie died at 31 years old, but because he had surrendered, he also now has changed the trajectory of history.
Okay. All right. I'm just not spectacular. But my question is, does that mean, therefore, none of the other great things that were said about Jesus shouldn't be celebrated? One of the fellows who spoke that I have to confess kind of surprised me that he was willing to talk about Jesus at all, the son of Donald Trump.
So I want to start where I know Charlie would want me to, with what was most important to him, and that was his relationship with Christ.
Surprise. Didn't see that one coming.
To say Charlie knew more about the Bible than me is an understatement, folks. It's like saying Donald Trump knows more about being president than Hillary Clinton or Kamala Harris.
Okay, so political jab. And the crowd reacted.
No kidding!
It's like they just can't help themselves.
But when Charlie was asked in an interview how he'd want to be remembered, he said, I want to be remembered for my courage, for my faith. And let me tell you guys, those were not empty words. Last week, Charlie joined a long line of courageous men and women who were martyred for what they believe. According to the book of Acts, the first martyr in the early Christian church was Stephen, who was stoned to death. And as Stephen was being killed, he said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, there are many times in the Bible where Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, but this is the only time he's seen standing. And while the Bible isn't explicit about this, I like to think Jesus was standing to welcome Stephen, the courageous martyr, into heaven. And today, today that gives me great comfort. Because 11 days ago, as a cowardly assassin crawled on his stomach to end Charlie's life on Earth, I'm betting Charlie saw the Son of God standing tall to welcome him home.
Wow. Wow. Now, some of his comments on martyrdom, it's like, yeah, whatever. But overall, are you rejoicing or criticizing? This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. Hey, can I be honest with you for a second? I see a lot of guys just drifting. Just going through the motions, working, hanging out, maybe going to church, but not really sure what they're supposed to be doing with their lives. And here's what's crazy. Nobody's giving you real answers. It's just a bunch of cliches about being a man that don't actually help. But I found something that does help. Dr. Adam Tyson has hosted a Fortis Forum, 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. And it is not what you think. Dr. Tyson does not just tell you to do better. He shows you what the Bible actually says about manhood. Real steps you can take, real changes that start in your heart, not just your behavior. That's what we need. Look, if you're tired of drifting and you want some actual direction, this is it. 5 steps that will challenge you to live with real purpose. It's on Fortis Plus. You can watch it whenever you want. Just go check it out right now. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Just download Fortis Plus wherever you download your apps or go to fortisplus.org. Trust me, it's time to stop drifting and time to start living.
Attributes of God. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. He knows all things past, present, and future. God does not learn new information, and nothing takes him by surprise. He knows what will happen and is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And then there was Erica Kirk. This is Wretched Radio. Gotta confess, I didn't think she was going to be able to pull it off being the closer after a number of really good speakers, very fine oratory. I thought, well, she's not a professional speaker, but what I think made her entire presentation so fine was that she didn't just give like this section, I'm going to talk about my husband's faith, this little part, I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. Instead, her entire speech was littered with the name of Jesus Christ, which I thought made it worth rejoicing over.
11 days ago, God accepted that total surrender from my husband and then called him to his side. More than anything, Charlie wanted to do not his will, but God's will. And over these past 11 days, through all the pain, never before have I found as much comfort as I now do in the words of our Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done."
Second time the Lord's Prayer was quoted. Quick, name an event where that happened. Positively. Charlie Kirk, he was a politician. Yeah. That's true. He certainly entered the realm of politics, but as we heard repeatedly, his actual motivation for going was his faith.
But most of all, God's mercy and God's love have been revealed to me these past 10 days. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival. This past week, we saw people open a Bible for the first time in a decade. We saw people pray for the first time since they were children. We saw people go to a church service for the first time in their entire lives.
And there's a bazillion stories like that. Did anybody anticipate that response to the Charlie Kirk assassination?
Being a follower of Christ is not easy. It's not supposed to be. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me.
Don't hear that verse quoted a lot.
He said he would be persecuted. He said we would be persecuted. And Charlie knew that and happily carried his cross all the way to the end.
Funny, I just was reading or hearing somebody preach that we've got to stop withholding that information to later in their Christian walk and let them know that up front, here's what you can expect in following Jesus. Oh, lots of good stuff, but you can also expect trials, tribulation, temptation, and persecution. How often do you hear that proclaimed?
And I want all of you to know, while Charlie died far too early, he was also ready to die. There was nothing he was putting off. There was nothing that was too hard or too painful or nothing that he just felt like he didn't want to do it. He left this world without regrets. He did 100% of what he could every day. But I want you to know something. Charlie died with incomplete work, but not with unfinished business.
In other words, he was right with his savior, Erica Kirk, speaking about her husband. But I have to tell you, I think she spoke more about Jesus than she did about him.
The greatest cause in Charlie's life was trying to revive the American family. When he spoke to young people, he was always eager to tell them about God's vision for marriage and how, if they could just dare to live it out, it would enrich every part of their life in the same way that it enriched ours.
Gotta tell you, that is a message. Pastor, please consider repeating that refrain. Marriage is good. Marriage is awesome. Marriage will change your life. Marriage will give it meaning and it'll give it purpose. And then when you do what marriage was also intended to do and you make some little image bearers, wow, then you live. That's a message worth repeating.
And someone once asked me how Charlie and I, how we kept our marriage so strong when he was busy traveling. And our little secret, it was love notes.
She goes on to explain that in those notes, he would always finish by asking the same question. How can I be a better husband to you? That's a scary question to ask one spouse, isn't it? Want to do something manly today, sir? Ask your wife, what can I do better, dear?
To all the men watching around the world, accept Charlie's challenge and embrace true manhood. Be strong and courageous for your families. Love your wives and lead them.
Oh, this was also a magnificent passage, encouraging men to be, you know, men. Also spoke to women.
Women, I have a challenge for you too. Be virtuous. Our strength is found in God's design for our role.
What?
We are the guardians. We are the encouragers. We are the preservers. Guard your heart. Everything you do flows from it.
There's another Bible verse.
And if you're a mother, please recognize that is the single most important ministry you have.
That is countercultural, but that is entirely biblical. One of my favorite lines was when she encouraged the men, you want your wives to follow you? Then be a man she wants to follow. That is a good word from Erica Kirk.
Charlie's life was a turning point for this country. It was a miracle. Let that miracle that was Charlie's life be your turning point as well. Choose prayer. Choose courage. Choose beauty. Choose adventure. Choose family. Choose a life of faith. Most importantly, choose Christ.
Okay. Yeah, I could say we don't choose Christ. He chooses us. But is it worth that? Considering how magnificent her presentation was about Jesus Christ, which honestly culminated in what has to be the highlight of her presentation, certainly.
That young man on the cross, our Savior said, Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do. That man, that young man, I forgive him.
That is not normally heard on international TV. Tragically, if you watch CNN, they did everything in their power to whitewash. They would have heard something like that and said, and the strength of Erica Kirk was on display. Well, yeah, it was, but something greater was on display. And that is how Jesus Christ actually gives us the ability to forgive even somebody who takes the life of your beloved husband. So what's my take on all of this? Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ. They're doing it rightly. Overall, that happened even from envy and strife, but some from goodwill. The latter do it rightly out of love, knowing I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ rightly out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress. What then? Only in that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ was proclaimed rightly. And in this, I rejoice. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.